Hey everyone, this is Scott, and my co-host is Joshua Marsh, and we want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with us. Our goal is to provide you with insight about our lives, how we navigate it, and how our faith is that compass. We want to encourage you to pray more often, more consistently, and in all things. Talking with God is about just that, the conversation that you have with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not complicated. We make it complicated. There's no special sauce to getting prayer right. So let's shed that stigma that talking with God is complicated. God, our Father, is there to listen to us in all seasons. Whether you are in a happy mood, or maybe you are facing some struggles and are angry at the world, or even God Himself, He is still there. So join us each week on Thursdays as we talk about our lives and how that relates to talking with God. Thank you for joining us here again on Talking with God. We just want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with us. Last week, we started talking about talking to children about salvation, which can be a really scary topic, not only for the parent, but for the child too. It's very important to build that relationship out of love and not fear. And so we're going to summarize what we talked about last week, and then we're going to get into the last three points that we want to make. The very first thing that we talked about was keep it simple, stupid. Avoid giving information that is too deep for a child. You want to set the tone there. The relationship that they have with God is a fatherly relationship, and to use clear terms, not to use symbolic analogies. And then to ask follow-up questions. And Josh, you talked about that a good bit, is, if somebody is asking a question, say, and then, to help them teach. And that was really fantastic. And that's awesome, because that comes from your teacher background. And then we started talking about the road. It's sort of like the Roman road that we use when we're talking to adults, but we make it for children. We focus on that. So we started with talking about how to explain God's love with Psalm 136, 13 and 16, where he's talking, the Bible talks about how God divided the Red Sea and led Israel out of Egypt, and how his love is faithful and it endures forever. And that's really, really key. And we had a discussion about that. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. And I think it's really important to stress that to kids, because that's one of the most basic feelings that they know and understand. And then we talked about explaining Romans 3:23 to them, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then we talked about how we've earned our punishment, and how we can teach a kid what a wage is, and why it's okay that, we're all going to die. That's not the scary part. The scary part is that eternal separation from God. Those are the three points. We've got three more that we want to talk about, but I think I covered everything, didn't I, Josh?
I think that sounds perfect. I think you did a great job.
Yeah.
That hit all the highlights.
Yeah, well, like I was telling Josh, literally right before we started this, I come home and rush and knock over my drink, and stuff's all over my desk, and I'm like, oh goodness, oh goodness.
So, which is one of the most frustrating things in the world is spilling a beverage all over your equipment and everything. There's always going to be some sort of stickiness or something left over, so I understand the frustration completely.
Absolutely. And thankfully, God's given me the foresight that most of the things that I have, I could literally stick in a dishwasher and it'll survive.
So that's a good thing to have. Absolutely.
So, we'll start to dive back in with our fourth point, but first for tonight. And this is sort of touching on God's love, but it's more about the choice that you're making. And that is that God loves you even when you choose sin over him. And that's really important conversation that I think parents should have with their children, because it sets the parents' relationship as well as the relationship that they have with God. And Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And there's some important questions, I think, that we can ask our children when we have that conversation. And one of them is, how do you think it makes God feel when you sin? Josh, how do you think it makes God feel when you sin?
Well, I like to approach this as I would approach it from a parent to child perspective, because I feel like it's a good way of making it relevant to our kids to say, how do you think your dad feel? How do you think daddy feels when you hurt someone else or when someone hurts you? How do you feel? How does it make daddy feel towards that, towards your sister or your brother? So I think that makes it a little easier for them to make that connection of how do you think God feels when you sin, not from a punishment perspective that, you know, we want to discipline you for what you've done, but do you think we're disappointed that you've wronged someone in some way who loves you? And showing it from a parent's perspective of, I love you, but how do you think it makes me feel when you do this thing, even though I love you and you know my love for you is never going to change? How does it make you, how do you think it makes me feel when, even though I love you consistently and unconditionally, how do you think it makes me feel when you do these things that are harmful to you or to someone else that I love? So that helps make the connection a little bit when I talk to my kids about that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I talk to my kids about is the parable of the Good Samaritan. This is literally that thing is Jesus is being asked this question. You say that I should love my neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? And then he goes into this parable of the Good Samaritan. And I think setting that tone is like, what you did, how would you feel if someone did the same exact thing to you? It's not a good feeling. And so I think to them teaches them about how to treat their neighbor, but not only that, but to hopefully avoid mortal wounds, those things where you hurt someone so deep that the relationship by our standards seems like it's irreparable. Now, God can do great work and repair that, but I think it does help educate them and inform them that those things are not good and we should really consider how we act before we act.
And I think it also helps them to make a connection of ownership of their actions, that I have the responsibility to be aware of what I'm doing to other people and to those who love me and those individuals who love me consistently and unconditionally. Am I going to continue to want to hurt those people or to do the things that I'm doing, even though I know it won't impact my relationship or it won't impact their love for me? I guess relationship is not exactly correct because it is going to hurt the relationship from your perspective, that it is going to create a wall and it's going to create hurt for you. So how then do you then approach that and how can you have those discussions, which is kind of the point, is how do we then move forward from that? So.
Yep. And that also gives you the chance to talk about not taking, you know, I guess like you're saying, not taking that love for granted. You know, God will love you regardless of the sins that you're committing. But when you take that step of salvation, you should really focus on not trying to do those sins, because we're supposed to live like Christ. God's promised us that Jesus is going to come and he's going to die for us, and he fulfilled that promise. And I think that's important to them, is to move into that, is to let them know that Jesus died for everyone. Me, you, you know, the person that they're angry at or the person that they're considering hurting. It wasn't just for the good people.
And I think too, making that connection for them that these moments when they do something wrong, you have a window of opportunity to open the gospel up, and you have those opportunities to say to them, do you think that I loved you any less or more before or after you sinned? Do you think your sin had an impact on me, or that my love was conditional on the sin that you did? Do you think that my love for you would change based upon what you did? And when I think they make that connection, then you can start leading into, this is God's love. This is what a savior is. He didn't come because of the good things that you could do or the sin that you were going to commit. He did this knowing that you were a sinner, and that's grace. And that's what the love of the Father is. And that helps, I think, make a lot of really great connections for kids, is that, oh, you're still my Father. No matter what I do, you loved me when I was born, and you're going to love me throughout my life, no matter, you know. I think making that connection helps a lot for them to understand the love of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I was kind of leaning into our next point about, you know, Jesus dying for everyone, because he did that knowing those sins. And I've had this conversation with our kids many times, is that Jesus died for everyone who sinned before him, that was sinning while he was upon the cross, and for everyone who's going to sin in the future, because God is all, he knows everything. He sees everything. He knows everything that will happen. And I think it's really important for them to understand, not only for themselves, but for others, how important it was, the work that he did. John 3:16, because, you know, he loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have eternal life. We talk about the thieves on the cross a lot, because that's like the juxtaposition of that, is that, you know, Christ is dying. He's in the midst of giving up his spirit. And he has one person who is completely, just has no regrets. Literally, he's just like, well, whatever. He can't do anything. If he's the Son of God, he can pull himself off of the cross. And then you have the other person who's actually come to that realization from seeing what he, you know, what Jesus has done. And he literally has a come to Jesus moment on the cross. That's where you get that choice. You can accept Christ as your savior and begin to live with him or live like him, or you can turn from that and face damnation, because Jesus turns to the thief that cries out to him and tells him, you're going to be with me in paradise. And he would have offered the same thing to the other criminal had he done the same.
Absolutely.
But I do think it's really important to explain that Jesus died for them, because without paying for that sin, we couldn't be with God. That's that separation from God that we had talked about, that wage. Our death is eternal separation. But when Christ died, he cleared that debt. And the only way that we get to cash in on that debt is if we believe in the work that he did. And the reason why we need to believe in that is his resurrection. It's proof that not even death, which was the wage that he's paying for us, could stop him. God's love was so strong that death couldn't even hold him.
Yeah. And I think pushing that forward to, you know, what do you think, as a talking to your kids about this, what do you think would be the ultimate payment that someone could give for you? Like, what is the greatest cost that someone could give for you that would be so undeserving, that we didn't pay for, that we didn't deserve in any way? What would be the ultimate gift? And that would be someone laying down their life, and to the, you know, scripture, greater love, you know, than to lay down your life. And I think making that connection too for kids, that they understand, oh, this was the ultimate cost. And not only was it the ultimate cost, it was the ultimate cost for someone who is so undeserving as me, and someone who sins constantly. You know, how can I be so undeserving? And it was that love, that free gift, and connecting that. But it's not just there. You have to step forward into it. And I think that's that next connection, which is, okay, it is unconditional. It is continuous love. But, you know, you have to step out into it. You have to, just like the thief on the cross, as you were saying, they had to step out in a way. It wasn't just Jesus giving this gift and saying, okay, here. They needed to do that next step, which is the confession. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, he didn't come to be the Oprah of salvation.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Can we do that for a shirt design? Maybe. I think that would be a lot of fun. The Oprah of salvation.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. Because, that's good. You know, and to me, that's like the easiest connection for adults, because Oprah's like, you get a car. It wasn't like that, you know.
You get salvation. That's good. I never pictured it that way, but that's very true. It's a great way of kind of really remembering. It's like, oh wait, I need to step out in faith. I need to make that connection between me and the Father. And yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. Because, you know, salvation itself is a free gift, but it comes, you have to believe that death paid your debt. That literally the only death that could pay that debt actually happened. And you do have to confess. And Romans 10:9 tells us that. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm very big on speaking out in prayer, even when it's just me by myself, because there's weight to that. To paraphrase it, we're thieves on the cross until we're saved. And until we actually confess, when we speak words to someone, it has a certain impact versus writing something to them. Because 9 times out of 10, you're either looking them in the face, or they can, you know, they're hearing you. And you can hear when someone lies to you. You can look someone in the eye and you can tell when someone's lying to you. You might fool yourself into thinking that they're not, but if you actually look them in the face, you can tell. So that confess with your mouth has like a weight to it. And I think that taking that step and teaching children what the gravity of that is really key.
And too, I'm tied into the beginning of scripture where you look at, you know, did God just touch, you know, things and then they came into being, or did he, you know, how did, what happened? And he spoke things into existence. Mm-hmm. And it was important for Adam too to name things and give things a name, and that importance of speech and confession and putting things out there to speak things into existence and truth is incredibly important. And I kind of connect that to with my kids and just say, look, there's an importance to praying out loud, to have that connection to I guess speak things out into existence. And I think there's tons of examples of that in scripture to what that we can tie it back to.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the question after you've laid those foundations in, and I'll just go over the 6 points that we've talked about here before we get to, you know, asking the really big question. And that is that you explain God's love. You show them that we have all sinned, that we've earned our punishment. We show them that God loves us even if we choose sin over him. We talk to them about Jesus dying for everyone, not just me or you or the good person, because you can be a good person on the outside and you can be very terrible on the inside. He died for every single person, even if you don't like that person. And then confession. And so we need to make sure that they understand that confession, that Jesus is their savior, requires that they do these 3 things. It's basically the ABCs. They admit that they have sinned. They believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, and then they commit to living their life to Jesus. And once we have that firm ABC understanding from them, like we know that they get it, then we have to ask them, would you like to start living for Jesus and become a Christian today? That's a big question.
It is a big question. And I think understanding the weight of that, it sometimes, and maybe I can't remember, we were talking about this before, a lot of times we can pass over this weight of this decision and what it means that I am stepping out in faith, that I am admitting my guilt. I'm believing that this amazing thing happened in the world for me, that I didn't deserve it. And now I'm going to commit to giving my life to the person who gave their life for me. It's a big commitment. It's not something that oftentimes I think we allow the discussion to go into that depth of understanding for kids. It is simple, but it's also very deep and it's a very real thing and it needs to be understood in regards to what it means for this to happen. What does it mean to commit to living your life for Jesus? So I think that's where then we make that extension and keep going. How do we then live our lives for Jesus? What does that look like? So,
yeah, absolutely. And this is another thing for parents. Parents, if you have this discussion with them and, you know, you think that they need to think about that, because to me, it's not a single discussion. This is we have discussions around this and then we ask that question. Because if you give them all of this and then you pop them with that question, they're going to be terrified. So you weave these points throughout, you know, you lay the foundation so that they understand, and then you can have that conversation. We've talked about this in church. You know, you're not here to save people. You aren't. What you're here to do is to show the good news and spread it to people. Now, there may be people that you talk to and your conversation get them to confess, but that's not always going to happen. You could be a stone on their path to salvation, and you need to be okay with that, because the second you think you're saving people, you're losing sight of why we walk the way.
Well, and I've got to throw a shout out to my spouse, because I think oftentimes we can approach our kids with these questions and these discussions. And if we're not living that life, our kids say, well, you're asking me to commit myself to living for Jesus, but you're not living that life. So it puts a lot of pressure on us as parents to live that life too. And kind of the purpose of this broadcast is talking with God, you know, praying, and our kids observing that. Because if our kids observe us not reading scripture, not being, you know, diligent to be in community with believers, not praying, then they're going to say, well, how am I going to commit if I don't see that my parents are doing that and they're giving me this? So I think that's a big thing too, is when we talk about that importance of committing ourselves to a life for Jesus, that they observe us. And so my spouse, who I'm going to just give some praise to, my kids, I said, what do you want to give mommy for Christmas? I think this was several years ago when they were much younger. And they said, we want to get her a Bible. And I was like, does she need to get in the Word a little bit more? they're like, no, because we see mommy reading the Bible all the time and we know she would really enjoy that. And that just spoke so much to me about the importance of your kids seeing you read scripture to them. And it doesn't have to be, you know, going through Leviticus, you know, with your kiddos every night. But I say that because I just read Leviticus and it's daunting. But going and talking to your kids about, you know, stories and important instances and the whole entire story of scripture. And this is why I really enjoy the Jesus Storybook Bible. And maybe we can include this in the comment of the description for the podcast, because the Jesus Storybook Bible is such a great way of talking to your kids about Jesus. And it focuses on the entire story of the Bible and pointing to the Jesus of the Bible, the story of Jesus. And we every time we baptize our kids, we've got a copy of the Jesus Storybook Bible. And it's just, I really like it for being able to talk to your kids about scripture. And it kind of begins to sow the seed of getting into the Word and talking to them about it. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, we'll definitely include that book in the podcast description when this goes live. So, you know, there's a follow-up to that conversation that you have with them. And that's you know, we talk about this, like you can give or share information and teach a lot, but then you need to see applications. So then you have to ask them to tell you in their own words what they believe and understand, because that actually is probably the most important thing that we need to find out before we ask them if they want to start living for Jesus and become a Christian.
Yeah. And having them put things into their own words really shows you, you know, an opportunity to be like, okay, let me correct some things. Let me kind of, there may be some times that there's a lack of understanding or they may need some clarification on some things. So I think just like in education, when you're trying to teach someone something, the best way to know whether they've learned it or not is to say, hey, tell me about it. You know, what do you think about this? And then you can have that discussion and clarification of any misunderstandings or misconceptions that are there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And once you're sure, once they've affirmed that they understand everything, I think then you can help them with their prayer of salvation. I'm definitely not a big proponent of giving someone a prayer of rote. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not knocking any, you know, religion that does like Hail Marys or whatever that specific prayer is. And I can see value in it, like getting your mind set to that, but don't let that be your only prayer. Like actually have a conversation with your Father, you know?
And breaking down that wall of complexity that says, look, this doesn't need to be a complex root prayer that you need to memorize all the time. This can be a conversation. It can be simple. And I love how you approach this podcast, Scott, that it doesn't need to be this complex thing. Sometimes we can approach prayer as something that it should be in reverence and it should be an honorable thing. But at the same time, it's a conversation. And God calls us to do it constantly. And throughout scripture, prayer is a foundational thing. Yet sometimes we just kind of throw it to, you know, time it when you go to bed and time at dinner. Be like, hey, look, if you're struggling with something, if you're, and the previous book that I had mentioned before relating to devotions for kids, it kind of helps folks like, hey, when you're feeling angry, just pray about it. Like, I mean, we were having a time, I was paying bills earlier and I was like, you know what, God, I need to pray about this because I'm struggling and I feel stressed and I know I'm going to have to pay for some things that I don't want to pay for right now. And I brought my wife and I'm like, hey, I just need you to go through a liturgy where I can just get in the right frame of mind before approaching this really stressful thing. And it really helps a lot with small things. And that's why I really like liturgies, which we can probably talk about in another episode.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I really enjoy liturgies for everyday situations. And I'll mention another text. It's called liturgy for every moment holy. So it's just little moments that you can read things and pray about things that normally don't, like changing diapers and stuff like that. And I really enjoy this text because it's just liturgies for little moments in your life that you can kind of come back to prayer and strength and healing for whatever the situation or event may be. And I'll share that out too. So
absolutely. Yeah, I think that teaching them about conversation versus, you know, now lay me down to sleep, blah, 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 is really important. And I mean, it's not like I'm going to go to God and be like, hey, Jay, easy. I'm having a bad day. How's it going?
I like that though. Maybe we should do that.
there's a certain level of reverence that you do absolutely have to approach prayer with. But at the same time, even if you're just like mad and you're like, God, like, dude, I am like so pissed off right now. Like, that's okay, you know, because he understands how you feel. That's why Jesus was fully man and fully God. He lived the human condition. So we have a savior that we can relate to on the most basic of level. I mean, he took the whip to people in the temple.
He understands anger. I mean, yeah. He gets it. I mean, he's lived that. So there's a reality to prayer that, like, look, just pray about things, whatever it is. I mean, stop stressing. I think so often we try and bottle our feelings up that it's like, well, I just have to, and you know, I don't want to go into the depths of anxiety and depression, but you know, so often we forget that, like, oh, I have a father who's willing to listen to my problems. I mean, uh-huh. That's a thing. Uh-huh. So if we just bottle up these things and we don't let them out in prayer, it's not good for us. It's something we need to do. So encouraging kids to do that is very important.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that goes back into doing the follow-up, is that we need to reinforce their affirmation with Romans 10:13. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so explain to them that verse is the promise of Christ, that salvation is forever. And God never breaks his promise. And we've seen that time and time again throughout the Bible. And whenever I talk to my kids about, you know, things that God had said was going to happen and they come to fruition, I'm just like, look, God fulfilled his promise again. Look, God did it again. He did it again. To build that, because as parents, if we're going to talk to children about salvation and about God, we need to share the attributes of God with them. So for us, we're actually helping build the image of God that they have in their heads. And if we build one that doesn't hold promises or is just angry and they're going to go to hell if they don't repent right now, that's going to be very negative.
Well, that's why I keep a fire in my fireplace constantly, just so I just point at it whenever we're, you know, they're doing something bad. I mean, look, there's the fireplace. That's what, no, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's approaching it from a language of love and understanding that throughout scripture is the promise of God. And look, here's another instance. Here's where God fulfilled the promise. Showing that connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament of, here's God. Look, there's Jesus. There he is in Genesis. There he is in Leviticus. There he is in Exodus. There he is doing this thing, you know, moving the story forward that we see in the New Testament. Here he is fulfilling that promise. And he's already made this promise to you. Do you think he's not going to fulfill it even more? How much more does he love you than he loved this situation or that instance? How much more, if he's willing to die for you, how much more is he going to fulfill that promise of salvation for you? And I think just continuing to point back and say, look, here it is in the story. Here you go. This is the characteristic of God, his consistent, never failing, conditional or unconditional. Sorry. My love is probably conditional. Most
conditional
of the time.
Love. Daddy, you're going to be daddy's favorite if you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure actually I used that phrase earlier today. I needed something upstairs and I was like, hey, if you go get this, I'm going to give you 75 cents or something.
Yep.
Like that.
Yep.
That's so funny.
Yep. If you have those conversations and you know that they're ready, and then they actually do confess and they make that big step into following Christ, I think that it's really cool to have them create something that shows what their salvation means to them. Don't give them like instructions on, hey, you need to do a cross and a tomb and things like that. Just give them some media and be like, this is really important. And I want you to make something that shows what Jesus means to you so that you can keep it with you through your whole life and you'll have something to look back on. You'll know the day that you were saved and how much that day meant to you. I think that's just awesome.
And I'm really glad you brought up that creative, artistic component, because I feel, and this is kind of a journey I've been going on for, I don't know, since August, I think, of last year, is the art space and that creative space gives us a little bit of a connection to that unseen world, because it helps us to imagine what is outside of our concrete reality, that where we see Jesus. And so combining that art component too only adds more of our ability to understand spiritual things and the unseen. So I love that. I think that's a great idea. I think it'd be really cool to do with your kids, to have them make something that showcases their faith and encouraging them to read stories and fiction and all sorts of stuff, which is another conversation at some point down the road, I'm sure, that encouraging art and creativity for them to showcase their faith and encourage faith in others is a great opportunity and discussion to have with your kids.
So it gives you a chance to, this is the bad parent of me. I was thinking, you know what? That would also give you a chance when they step out of line, you'd be like, hey, look at that thing over there on the wall.
You want to look at that picture again?
Yeah. Cause you know what? I'm not going to lie. You know, the whole point I think of one doing something like this where it's publicly available is to be honest. Now, you don't have to be way out there, but like, I would absolutely tell my kids, you made a promise. There it is on the wall. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think pointing back to faith, be like, hey, do you think this is something that this is character that, you know, is becoming of someone who has committed their life? Do you think this is something that's pleasing to God? This is a lifestyle that's pleasing to Christ. And my dad had those conversations with me growing up. You know, my father had a lot of conversations with me, be like, look, you are, I was a youth minister. I was probably a youth too at the time. I was pretty young doing music for youth ministry, but my dad pulled me aside and was like, you know, I see the way that you're talking and or acting in the community. And do you think that's reflective of what you would want your, you know, people that view you as someone in the church who's in a position of leadership? Do you think that's the lifestyle or the type of thing you would want to see in them? And having those difficult conversations, even when kids get older or younger, just saying like, look, is this something that you want to, is this something that you would want God to, a type of character that God would encourage in you? Or do you think, you know, that there we can fix this character? And it's hard, but it's important. So.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And this actually makes me think about service last night when Mac and Luke were talking. If you're going to approach your child and talk to them about salvation, you are literally their Paul. And I don't know if you got the chance to listen to the message last night.
I didn't get a chance to hear that one last night. So, cool. It sounds good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking about, you know, Paul and Timothy and how important Timothy was to Paul or vice versa. It's like a mentor, really, right? And so that is what you're doing. You're the first Paul in your child's life. I think that those 6 points that I feel anyway, we're just kind of giving advice and stuff here on how, you know, we talking to children in general about salvation. But
well, and you're the first, you as the parent, you are the example of fatherly love that parental love that they are going to experience and showcasing them not just love, but the lack of perfection on your own part. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that has been really important for me talking to my kids about salvation is like, look, daddy needs salvation. Mm-hmm. Daddy's not perfect. I need to approach the throne of grace just as much as you do. And I think it's important for them to see the reality and honesty that, oh, my parent needs salvation as much as I do, that my parent's not perfect. I think a lot of times we as parents can say, you know, we can try and put on this facade, this mask of perfection, because we don't want our kids to see us as failures or struggling. But I think opening up and telling your kids, you know what, I'm struggling. I struggle with my faith and I have to have these questions that burn in me that I have to pray for and I have to seek God for and understand the deeper knowledge of who He is. That's great, because it encourages them to dig deeper. But it's hard. And a lot of times we, you know, and I think growing up in the South and the Bible belts of, you know, what talk of I don't want to be specific, of the Western Carolinas, you know, it was always, you need to strive for perfection. You need to be perfect. Like, no, I don't need to be perfect. Jesus is perfect. I need to be like Jesus because I know I can't do it. And that changed my perception. Once I understood that I can't be perfect. And there were, I used to have this pastor who I'm going to give a shout out. I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but in Norfolk, Virginia, he was like, all right, go and don't sin this week. And then we'd all stand up and be like, what are you guys doing? Sit back down. It was just this great representation that like, look, this is what was told to us, but this is not what Jesus teaches. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the way. You're not, I am. And we need to communicate that to our kids. Like, look, I'm not the light. I'm not perfect. I need to approach grace just like you do. And that really opens up a lot of doors that kids sometimes feel like they can't approach their parents because, you know, they think their parents are perfect or that they've never committed a sin or they've never done anything wrong. And that's just not reality. So that's at least my opinion. I don't know.
No, I agree 100%. You know, I do think that you should share your struggles with your children, because if they have this belief that once they're saved, you know, they're walking on clouds, they're going to fail. And Mac actually gave me a nugget last night that I'm going to use for the rest of my life. Salvation is not only processive, which means that when you confess, you are saved. So you become a Christian, but it's also progressive. Once you're saved, you get saved every single day. And let me tell you, there are times where I'm like, Jesus, I need some love. I need some salvation in me right now, because that's where you're going through sanctification.
Yeah. You know? I think last week, that was the first time I heard, like really understood, like really understanding what it means to be sanctified. Mm-hmm. And the principle of sanctification really clicked for me last week, which was pretty crazy. I was like, I've never really looked at the term sanctified to really understand what it means. Like I've heard it my entire life, but I'm like, what does it mean to be sanctified? And I really, really appreciate that deeper understanding of what that term means. Cause I was like, what does it actually mean? So,
you know, I think those are like, for me, like after conversations, and maybe, you know, we'll cover that. Like you've did this big step. You've talked to your kid about salvation. Like you don't want to be, and I hate using this term, but I've used it before and I'm going to use it right now. You don't want to be a starter church because we've been to places where that's exactly what happens. People come in the door, they hear a great sermon, they get saved, and then there's no next steps. And for a Christian, there are always steps. You're always, or you should always be doing something to improve your relationship with God or to help others improve their relationship with God, because you are commissioned to go out to the world and do that.
If you look in scripture, principle of the church, and I'm not going to go into, you know, a ton of depth and stuff in this one, because I know we're talking about our kids about salvation, but the purpose of the church is to give us a depth. There's the fivefold ministry, which is, there is the principle of teaching. Once people understand grace and once they've reached salvation, now we need to be teaching and going deeper into understanding. And so, you know, and the same way in a marriage, if you just get married and you're like, okay, I'm good. We're not going to build on this relationship at all. We're just going to be married now. You go on that side of the house and I'll stay on this side. It's like,
sometimes.
But it's just, you know, you're building that relationship. You're constantly, you're not always on the same page. You have to come to a new understanding. You have to, you know, question. There's a lot of times in marriage, you're like, I've got questions about, you know, what you believe on this or your perspective on that. And you have to talk and you have to have that time where you're digging deeper into your understanding of one another. And I think marriage, that's why God uses marriage as a great relationship between his relationship with the church, is that we need to consistently be growing our relationship. And I think that's a great thing to discuss moving forward is, okay, you have salvation. Now what does that prayer life look like? What does that lifestyle look like? And that may be a discussion for us, but I don't know. Somewhere down the road.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, parents, like this can be a really scary topic. It would be silly to say otherwise, but at the same time, you can control that. And you can control that through understanding what you're going to talk about to them first, praying about that, and asking God to just move in your conversations and to literally take words and spit them out of your mouth so that you say things that are actually God, divine, you know, wording. Inspired. There we go.
I like that.
Yep.
I like wording though. I think it works too.
One of the things that we've been doing on the page the last couple of days, since we've blown up, and which, by the way, thank y'all so much. We are really humbled by that. Like 300 people in like less than a week and a half. That's amazing. Is every day we're going to post, how can we pray for you? Because what's the point of having a podcast about talking with God if we're not going to actually do that for you too? We're not here for just ourselves. And so there are three people that have responded to our post, and I just want to touch on them briefly, and then we're going to pray and we're going to wrap everything up and kind of give you an idea of where we're going to go forward and everything. But we're going to pray for Dawn Schoenfield. She asked a prayer for her marriage. God can do great things in marriage, Dawn. I've seen it. I've seen couples that you would think would never ever be able to come back together, and it's happened. Crystal Turner, she's my cousin. She's got some health decisions, something about surgery possibly. She's asking for God to give her the wisdom to make the right decision there. And then Christiana Morgan, she wants us to pray for her husband Willie and her son Xavius's health. And Jesus is a great healer. There's no one that could heal like him. Now, unless you lived in Lord of the Rings and you've got, you know, that kind of thing going on, you know, the king could do that, but we live in reality. And if we pray to God, you know, regardless of the outcome, we have to have that faith that he knows what's best. So we will pray for all three of you that whatever those paths are, God reveals himself in that. He shows you why that happened and you have understanding of that. But going forward, me and Josh had a thought is, you know, we both like to read. He probably reads more than I do because I got out of college like a year ago and I was just like, I'm having like a cleansing. But
I like that term. You're throwing out these awesome like coined vocabulary words and I'm like, man, these are great. I need to write these down. What did you call it again? Can it say one more time?
What, the cleansing?
The cleansing. I like that.
Because you spend so much time reading books. And so recently I was having a discussion with a former coworker of mine. His name's David Washko. He won a shirt in the giveaway. So shout out. I actually took that to him today and he told me some really great things that he's going to be moving forward in his life that revolve around ministry. I'm not going to tell him because I don't know that I can, but you know, he's just an awesome, awesome guy. But, I forgot what I was going to say about that.
That's okay. That's all right. It was good.
No, that was it. So he turned me on to reading Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. So what Josh and I are going to do is we're going to get the book and we're going to look and see how many chapters there are. And every other week, not every week, we're going to talk about the chapters that we've read, how that affected our lives and things like that. There's even a workbook. So I may end up getting that and working through it as a way for us to have discussion.
I think that's, I'm really excited about the opportunity to talk with you about that too. I'm excited to kind of dig into that. And I want to make sure that everyone understands, I didn't really get into reading a lot until I met my spouse. And the reason for that is because when I met my spouse, I saw on her Facebook info that she was a C.S. Lewis fan. So what I did was every time I sent her a message on Facebook, I ended with a quote from C.S. Lewis, even though I never read a single thing from him. And she was like, oh, you read C.S. Lewis? And I'm like, of course. And I never had read a book. So I didn't inform her about this until after we got married. Her mother then found out that I'd done that. And she was like, okay, we got to figure this out. So I started reading. I got a lot of C.S. Lewis books after that. So she actually bought me for my birthday while we were dating a year with C.S. Lewis. And I'd never read anything. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. So it was really funny. But I started reading a lot more after I got married. So because my wife was a big reader and she was part of a classical Christian program. And so they have a lot in-depth reading programs. And so she really actually got me into reading after we got married. So that's, I can't lay claim to any of that. My spouse is just, she's a wonderful, angelic, I can't even describe how amazing my wife is. She helps me in so many different areas you of sly. My life to make me a better person.
You sly dog, you.
No, I got a shout out, man. I wouldn't read as much if it wasn't for her. So she's great.
No, I get it. I had to mute because I was belly laughing. Because we've all done something to impress the love of our life. Yes. Sometimes we do something we think is going to impress the love of our life, and then they look at us like we're stupid. Okay.
Yes, 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 yes.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to read through Experiencing God.
Great.
And share that with everyone. So the people, Dave Washko turned me on to it. I've talked to, you know, Mac about it, Luke about it. And every time they're like, dude, why have you not read this already? And I'm like, okay, I feel like a poopy Christian.
Again with the term, man, poopy Christian. Like that's, right. that's good. I like it.
So, cool. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to close this out with a prayer. We're going to pray for Dawn, Crystal, and Christiana. And we're going to just pray in general about talking to our children about salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We are humbled to have this opportunity to speak to people and to show them your grace through our conversations. I pray for Dawn Schoenfield and her marriage. Lord, we don't know the situation. We don't need to know the situation. What we need to know is that there's a need and she's reached out. And so it's our duty to reach out in supplication and ask you to work in that, to work with Crystal Turner and help her make the right decisions on her health issues, whether it be surgery or there's some other kind of treatment. Just give her comfort in the decision that she makes. And then for Christiana Morgan, for her husband, Willie, and her son, Xavius, I pray for whatever the health issue is, that your will is carried through and they see that and understand whatever it may be. And for the parents who have children that are coming into a deeper understanding and asking questions about you, give them comfort in the fact that they, as parents, already know you. Give them understanding that it's okay to tell their child, I don't know the answer to that, but let's work on it together. Remove the anxiety and take that yoke off of them, because you carry the heaviest weight. And if we put it on you, we are so free and so able to discuss those topics with them. Allow our words to be clear and our hearts to be true, and allow our conversations with them and with you to be just a normal everyday conversation, so that we come to you comfortable and relaxed and willing to bear the heart that you already know, so that we can show that we understand the importance of the work your son did. We love you, Father. Thank you again for this opportunity to touch lives. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you again for taking time out of your day to spend with us. Can I ask a small favor? Okay, well, maybe it's a couple, but they are really important. First, can you subscribe to us? Second, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you give us a rating and let us know how we're doing? That helps our podcast get discovered. And if I'm honest, it makes us feel good too. Even if it's just a 1 star out of 5, it's crucial feedback so that we can improve. One last thing, can you share this with your family or friends? We're on all major podcast platforms, and even if it's just 2 people, maybe your whole Facebook or Twitter, whatever you're comfortable with, we're happy to have that. It would mean the world to us, because every little bit helps us get discovered and allows us to share God's message to the world. We hope that by sharing this prayer with you, that you are encouraged to pray more often and more comfortably. And most importantly, your relationship with God grows in talking with Him. If you'd like to share a prayer, check out the link below and contact us. We love you and hope that you visit us again next week.